Hello, and welcome back to The Worm. Today, I'm speaking to Alice Bell, an astrologer, author, podcaster, and my big sister. In 2019, Alice quit her job as a fashion assistant at Vogue to pursue astrology full-time. What began as paid birth chart readings for Instagram followers evolved into her book, Trust Your Timing, How to Use Astrology to Navigate Your Love Life and Find Your Authentic Self, which was published in 2023, as well as two podcasts titled Astrology and You and her current solo show, Astrology with Alice. Alice also writes weekly horoscopes for British Vogue online and has a Substack where subscribers can find real-time astrology transit information so you can predict what may be coming up for you in the coming weeks, months, or even years. Alice has also been featured on numerous other podcasts and in articles by sources such as The New York Times, Vogue, British Vogue, Women's Wear Daily, Goop, Refinery29, and Forbes, just to name a few. I'm so excited to be chatting about all things astrology, starting your own business, and following one's passion with her today. Alice and I go in a bunch of different directions, and I do apologize if the astrology terminology does get a bit technical. I know that people don't really know a bunch about astrology, but there are some really valuable bits of information, especially because Alice is and has been throughout my life, and especially in recent years with watching her grow her own business. She's been a huge source of inspiration, just with the idea that when you find something that you're passionate about, that, sorry to be cheesy, but that lights your soul on fire, that if you follow that, success will come. And so there are a bunch of really good little tidbits of information, which if you are maybe an astrology skeptic or don't understand that much about astrology at the moment, but you're interested in learning more, I encourage you to hold out kind of just for the more life lessons. We also get a little bit witchy with some spiritual stuff. So sorry if you're not super into that, but if you are, this is the episode for you. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, Alice.
Hi, I'm so happy to be talking to my sis.
I'm happy to have you on The Worm today.
Yes.
Just to get started very broadly, will you start with how you found astrology?
Yeah, so if we rewound, this was like January 2018. I mean, I'd always known of astrology, of course, like you read your weekly horoscope and stuff like that, but something happened in January 2018 where it was like someone gifted me a birth chart book for my 25th birthday, and then also like apps like CoStar were coming out at that time, and it was like a lot of like signs that this was something I needed to look further into. And so that was when I pulled up my birth chart and started doing research, like literally Googling what is having Venus in Pisces mean? What is having like Saturn in the seventh house mean? And by doing that on my own rather than having someone tell it to me, because I'd had a therapist before who was like, oh, this is your birth chart, that's what this means. It didn't fully resonate until I had the interest to do it on my own and like really read up on like what all of these placements meant. So January of 2018, that was the turning point where astrology became like this full-on obsession, where it was like, because my birth chart resonated so much with me by looking up what all those placements meant, I wanted to do that for everyone. So that's when I started giving readings to like everyone I knew just for free, just to get a ton of practice.
So was it something that came really naturally to you, like more so than other topics that you'd been interested in the past?
Yes. Like it was crazy how fast the astrological knowledge like clicked in my brain and how quickly I was able to understand even more complex like prediction stuff. Like I learned transits about like 6 months into knowing astrology, and then I learned like solar returns quickly after that. So it just felt like a natural skill I hadn't been able to tap into up until that point.
Mm-hmm. And how long had you been working at Vogue when you got really into astrology?
A year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what was kind of the transition from being really into your job at Vogue to feeling maybe a bit like disillusioned or like it wasn't totally your vibe anymore to being completely into astrology? Mm-hmm.
So I started at Vogue in February 2017 and like was full blown obsessed with that job, would stay late, would do the most, like would stay till like 10 p.m. every night and show up at 8 a.m. the next morning. And then something switched like at the end of that summer and the early fall where it was like, what exactly am I working towards? What's the bigger picture here? Is there any room for growth here? And am I actually passionate about what I'm doing? Because there's only so much, I mean, maybe for other people, this is their passion. But for me, it was like, I got sick of picking out outfits that people should buy. Like there was no deeper meaning there. And so that fall of 2017, I felt really like dissatisfied and lost. And work also got slower at that time because like the publishing, like magazine industry was going through like a lot of layoffs. So my team was consolidating and there just wasn't as much for me to do during that time. And so when that astrology interest came in at the start of 2018, I was able to do a lot with it because work wasn't so demanding anymore.
So obviously you're a lot of like your, not necessarily your brand, but when other people have you on their shows or maybe you're mentioned in articles, you are still very much tied to this past of working at Vogue or mm-hmm. still writing the weekly horoscopes online for British Vogue. Is mm-hmm. this something that you're happy with or have you tried to move away from that association and like create your own brand? Mm-hmm.
I still love fashion, but it's like I don't need to like work in it to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Like I just realized, I had a realization, it was like dressing well is enough for me. I don't need to work in it. So I do get annoyed when people are like, why don't you do astrology fashion content? And I'm like, that there's no deeper meaning there for me. Like I don't want to tell people what to wear based on their sign. So I have moved away. I have moved like completely away from working with fashion brands unless it was like my dream brand, like if Prada or Gucci reached out, like yes, I would do something for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is something I'm trying to move away from just because I have other interests with astrology now that aren't related to that.
Yeah, along the lines of finding fulfillment in astrology, what are the specific areas, because astrology is so broad and it's about kind of mm-hmm. life in general, what are the specific areas that really pique your interest and that you mm-hmm. want to kind of teach the public more about?
So with astrology, like there's your birth chart, which is, that's kind of more like psychological astrology almost. It's like, what are your personality traits? What are your reactions to things? What are your interests? I'm more interested in prediction and the timing of your life and noticing patterns that keep repeating themselves throughout your entire lifetime and how you're growing upon it each time it comes back around. So ancient prediction techniques like solar returns and transits and annual perfections, like that stuff I'm so passionate about. And I also have like little other niches. Like right now I'm doing a lot of research on fertility astrology. I wrote my book on like timing of relationships, that type of thing. I'm also interested in like financial type astrology. That's something I really want to get more knowledgeable about, because I just love, like, astrology can really pin down, like, exact moments in your life and the timing mm-hmm. of things.
Yeah, and it seems like your interest in it very much changed with what's going on in your life at any given moment.
Yeah, like, whatever I'm passionate about in my life is where the astrology interests are taken at that time.
Mm-hmm. So before, I have, like, a few astrology questions. Before we get into it, I know a lot of my friends here don't know a ton about astrology, and I feel like mm-hmm. every single time I go to like a dinner party or something, I'm like explaining astrocartography or like how to read your birth chart, and the questions just never end. And people are always like, oh, do you actually believe in that? So before we get into those questions, like what is an astrology bias or like the something that you say to people who might not believe in astrology to kind of explain your stance and your belief in it?
This is hard because I don't really encounter a lot of people that come up to my face and are like, I don't believe in astrology. Like, I don't set out to like convince people ever. I would say like, if someone's talking trash about astrology, I just don't really engage with them. But a bias I notice among skeptics is just that their sign isn't resonating with them, therefore astrology is not real. When it's like, that is such a small part of astrology. Like, if I took out, if I went through their whole life story with them, seeing the timing of events, and that's why I like the prediction stuff so much, is because it's so accurate. And it's like, this cannot not be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that something, I mean, I guess that's something that you picked up on really quickly when you first got into it.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be so passionate about astrology if I didn't believe that there was something to it.
Yeah. And I think also there's something to be said for the fact that, like, there's so much growth and interest in astrology happening, even since you mm-hmm. started your business.
Yeah.
That it's such, like, a current wave, and I think you caught it at the perfect time.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that was, like, completely unplanned, too. It wasn't like I was seeing it was a rising trend and was like, oh, my God, I got to cash in on this trend. It just happened organically, and I feel like I got obsessed with it in 2018, and then I feel like COVID during 2020 and 2021, that brought a whole other wave of people into it, too.
Do you think that – is there, like, a broader cultural transit that might be responsible for that?
Yeah, I feel like when it, like, if I were to recall when it really got a boom and it was just being talked about more widespreadly, that was when Jupiter was in Scorpio. So I feel like that was a year-long transit where people were more interested in maybe self-discovery and understanding, like, emotional patterns, and astrology is, like, able to give you answers like that. I also feel like Neptune being in Pisces since 2012, and that transit will finally wrap up in 2026. So that's, like, a 14-year-long transit of just, like, a rise in spiritualism and people more interested in things like tarot or astrology, or other areas like that. And the last time that happened, I believe, was, like, at the turn of the century, the late 1800s. I'm not sure the exact dates on it, but it was right around that time when these were all interests then, too. Like, people were doing, like, seances and all that type of thing.
Wow. Yeah. Was that also Neptune in Pisces then as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. That's so interesting. So then what's after Pisces?
Aries.
What can we expect with Neptune in Aries then?
That is, like, where astrologers are kind of like, will the interests die out or will there be, like, pushback on it? But with Neptune in Aries, I don't know. That's a hard one because it's like, what is going to be a defining trend for the next 14 years starting in 2026? It's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
What are, like, but, the qualities associated with Aries?
Like, independence, taking action immediately, kind of being impatient or, like, hot-headed sometimes, but also being very, like, direct and assertive. Mm-hmm. So it could be that there's more of a rise in those types of topics, especially because Saturn will move into Aries at the same time Neptune does. So mm-hmm. there's, like, a 2 to 3 year period, like, part of 2025, 2026, and 2027, and a little of 2028. While those two are in Aries, where those Aries type topics are just huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So since you're so into predictive astrology and looking at the mm-hmm. future, how or do you set boundaries with astrology and with how much that you look for?
I like astrology in that it does show you the timing, and I can look into the future and see, okay, this might happen then, but I can never see exact specifics. So I'm not tripping myself out of, like, oh my God, this exactly is going to happen in that year. It's more like mm-hmm. I get the vibe or the energy of, like, what that year or that month might hold, but I'm not able to see exactly what's happening. So I feel like that's how I'm able to keep it in check, is that you keep an open mind. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, I don't know how my life will look 6 months or a year from now. So I can think I might know how a particular transit will play out, but really I don't know exactly how it will go.
Mm-hmm. What about with, like, the movement of the moon? Because transits are very triggered by, or, like, events specifically are kind of triggered by the moon moving through certain houses or areas of your chart.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, I mean, is that, like, a more specific way to look at things that might be coming?
The moon is more like, how are you feeling on a day-to-day basis? Unless it's like, you're tracking like when the new moon takes place, when the full moon, that will be like culmination points throughout each month, because there's a new moon and a full moon every single month. So those are a bit more major than just the moon on its own. I would say for major, like, year-long themes, you want to look at the eclipses, which does involve the sun and moon, but with the north node. So the eclipses, and then also Saturn and Jupiter. And then if you're looking at, like, how is a decade of your life going to be shaped, like, what will be emphasized for that particular decade, that's when you're looking at planets like Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
yeah,
just, like, remembering who you were before you even found astrology and who you are now, it's like they're two different people.
It's crazy.
It's so interesting. Like, will you kind of talk a little bit about how astrology, obviously it's impacted your life like tremendously, but kind of what are some of the changes that you've seen in yourself, and maybe what are some spiritual practices that you do now because of astrology?
I would say it's helped a lot with anxiety. And that's probably why I like astrology, is because it gives me kind of answers of what's to come. Whereas before, I was just like very controlling, or always like worried that I wasn't doing enough. Like I could never just relax. So I was very like, I don't know, on edge all the time. And I didn't believe in anything like bigger than myself. I wasn't really religious. So I felt like everything was in my control, and that's just like a lot of pressure to put on yourself. And I just wasn't really happy. If I look back at like my teenage years and into my early 20s, because I didn't find astrology till 25, but then learning astrology opened me up to all sorts of other things. Like that was the catalyst that got me into doing things like yoga and like taking care of my body and meditating, or interested more in like past lives, like all these different types of spirituality. But astrology was like the entry point.
Totally. I could talk about astrology all day, but I don't want to get too much into like the specifics, just because I know that people listening don't know probably really anything about astrology. What would you say are like the basics for people to learn if they're interested in learning more about astrology?
Sun, moon, and rising. So a lot of people already know their sun sign. That's like your sign, what month you're born in, or like what zodiac season. So that's your sun. And then if you know your exact birth time, you can pull up your astrology chart, your birth chart, and you'll see what sign your moon is in. And then you'll also see your rising, which is also labeled as your ascendant. So I always recommend websites like astroseek.com or astro.com, or downloading an app like Chani. Those are all great for getting those core three. That's like really the entry point. Then you could also branch out from that and go more in depth on your birth chart and look at like, okay, what sign is my Mars in? What sign is my Venus in? My Mercury? And then adding another layer of what houses are these in my chart. So maybe first familiarizing yourself with what signs these planets are in, and then taking it to the next level by seeing what house are they in.
So obviously most of your job is learning, and you are constantly learning and sharing that knowledge. Do you ever get burnt out with doing astrology stuff?
No, I will say I don't like read as much astrology books as I used to. Like I used to always be reading astrology books, and recently something's happened where it's like I'm just learning astrology through life experience and what I'm naturally interested in, and the astrology knowledge is coming through that. So it's less about learning from other astrologers now and more about learning from myself and seeing how it plays out with people I know, or like biographies I read or celebrity news I hear about. I'm always looking at like someone won the Oscar. I'm always looking at, okay, what's their birth chart? Why did they win the Oscar on this date? Or like, even if a celebrity dies, I'm like, okay, pulling up their birth chart. What was going on? Why did they die right now? That's kind of dark, but like whenever I'm seeing a big event, I'm always looking at like, what's the astrology behind it? So I'm never burned out in that way. Like it's always an interest, an underlying interest, even if I'm not like on work time, I'm still looking up charts.
Yeah. What are some maybe major things, like Oscar wins, for example, or big things in the news that you might have seen coming recently?
That I saw coming recently. I mean, I posted on Instagram about the Emma Stone Oscar win. I was like pretty sure she was going to win Best Actress because I first pulled up her birth chart back in January. And I was like, wow, her career is really looking good right now. And I was like, I won't be surprised if she wins something at the Oscars. And that happened. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of something else in the news.
What about the Kate Middleton?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Thanks for reminding me. The Kate Middleton stuff. I had predicted that some news would come out about it around the time of these eclipses. And she had that announcement about cancer 2 days before the lunar eclipse in Libra. So that one was pretty spot on. And I also was like, before that specific news came out, I was like, there is something huge going on with her health. So that played out pretty literally.
Mm-hmm. And what houses were the nodes in for her?
She's Leo rising. So she has the nodes transiting the 9th and 3rd, but the ruler of her 6th house of health is in Libra, her 3rd house. So the 6th house ruler is getting hit by eclipses right now.
Mm-hmm. Could that also be why it was such a like hot topic in the news? Because the 3rd house is about communications, or would that not really have anything to do with it?
I haven't thought about that. I feel like it also has, because she's Capricorn sun and Cancer moon. I also just feel like the eclipses being square, like the eclipses are in cardinal signs, Aries and Libra, so they're squaring the moon and sun in her chart. I also feel like that's why she's being brought up more at this time too. I have noticed like even when the eclipses aren't in your exact signs, if they're in that same family of signs.
Okay. So when you first got into astrology and you decided to leave Vogue and start your own business, how confident were you in your ability to not necessarily like maintain financial stability, but maintain interest and your ability to keep learning and sharing that knowledge with the public?
I never worried about maintaining interest. Like, it just felt like I had found my life calling when I found astrology. And I was like, I am so passionate about this. So I never worried about, like, what if I lose interest and I want a different career? Like, that's never something that really crosses my mind. The financial stuff, after I gave my notice at my job, I had, like, I still worked there for about a month. So I had a month left of steady paycheck. And then I was like, I had a moment of worry. Like, what if I stop making money? Like, what am I going to do? So the financial stuff was more of a concern of mine. But, like, what I was making at my job was so little that it was easy to match that income through my own business. And I just found when I quit that job, I really learned how sometimes you have to take a risk in order to invite the opportunities into your life. Like, if I hadn't quit that job, it wouldn't have opened up all these other streams of income that came my way.
Totally. Because then also, just from like my own spiritual philosophy, if you will, like, you still would have been tethered to your past out of fear. And like, when you're projecting that energy and that fear that what if it doesn't go right, then like, it's not gonna go well if you don't put your all into it, you know?
Yeah. And I'm getting that kind of right now too, like letting go of kind of certain elements of what I do for my job in order to advance to the next stage. It is hard to move past that, like, do I still need this anymore? But knowing that it's necessary.
I feel like there have been a lot of stages of your astrology business. So after you first left Vogue, what was the process of going from just doing more like stuff with what Instagram base you already had to getting attention from brands and doing brand deals? And then like, what was kind of the progression of that?
That happened like immediately, and that was already happening when I was at Vogue, because like, word of mouth, when you work at a magazine, you have a lot of interaction with PR at brands. And so they naturally heard that I was like the office astrologer. And so I was getting asked to attend brand events and give readings to customers there. And one event for 2 hours was paying me what I made in a week's salary working at Vogue. So I was like, this is a no-brainer. This is crazy that I'm making my week's salary in 2 hours. And then when I announced on Instagram that I was leaving to be an astrologer and it was like official, brand requests started pouring in. So that's a lot of how I got my business like financially up and running, was through so many people wanting me to do readings at events.
Mm-hmm. And then, so how long were you doing that kind of stuff? Was that until COVID hit?
Yeah. And it was like after a year, a little over a year of doing that, I was very burned out from it, because it's like you go to these events and you're giving like 10-minute readings back to back for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It just like takes a toll on you, like your energy. It's really weird. Like I wouldn't be able to like do work the next day after doing one of those events for 2 hours. So I was kind of looking at like what's next. And then it shifted more towards doing social media content for brands, like filming like reels or like graphics for Instagram. And now it shifted completely away from working with brands at all. And it's completely in my control now with writing on Substack, my book, my podcast, and I'm coming out with courses in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Fun. When are the courses launching?
I'm aiming for April 18th. It is Mercury retrograde right now, though, so I wouldn't be surprised if it gets pushed, but I really, really am trying to do April 18th.
Yeah, I know. I'm worried about the Mercury retrograde right now, because this is when I have my dissertation due April 23rd. And
that makes sense, though, because tedious writing that isn't the most fun, that you really have to put a lot of effort into, usually pops mm-hmm. up during Mercury retrograde.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like revisiting what you've learned in order to produce it. It's like you're not learning new information right now. You're going back to what you've learned over the past couple years and putting it into something.
Absolutely. Like the stuff that's happened in the last 2 days, I'm like, it's so totally Mercury retrograde right now. And even like the travel stuff, like I had to go to the doctor in another town yesterday and I like missed the bus on the way back, even though I could see it like 50 mm-hmm. feet away, but I missed the bus. And then I got a taxi.
Oh my God.
And then the taxi's card reader machine didn't work.
Oh my God.
And then we had to drive across town to the ATM, and the traffic was so bad that it like would have taken me the same amount of time to walk across town and back to get to the ATM. So like, I was just like, this is so classic that it's so Mercury retrograde on day one.
Yeah.
Too.
I felt it too. It's like, it's just slow with hearing back from people at work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it's like everything just came to a standstill.
Yeah. So when you say like hearing back from people, how much of your work is totally independent and how much do you rely on other people for?
I rely on other people to carry out projects. Like for workshops that I filmed, I had a videographer and like a producer and a graphic designer. So I hire out for tasks that I don't have the skill set to do, which is really nice. And it took me like 3 to 4 years into my business to have enough money to hire people to do these things. That's why I'm able to like step it up now and do bigger projects just by myself. But yeah, I would say it's mostly keeping track of like people I've hired and like what's the timeline, where are we.
Mm-hmm. And because you are like working for yourself day to day, what's your schedule and how did you like get to a place of like building a schedule and figuring out what was kind of right for you to be doing to get your best work done?
Yeah, so this has taken some time too, because coming from a corporate job of like you have to be there at 8:30 a.m. and you can't leave till like 7 p.m. when I first left my job to work for myself, I thought I like had to be at my desk like for 12 hours every day. Now I would say I really lean into my human design for this one. I'm a projector, so I work in like quick bursts and get like a ton done within 2 to 3 hours a day. So I'll work really strongly from like 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Then I'll take like a 2 to 3 hour break and come back at like 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., 7:30, and get a lot done there. So I need periods of rest and I need a really slow morning. But then the amount I accomplish within those 2 to 3 hour bursts is a lot.
Mm-hmm. What is human design? I've heard a little bit about it, but I don't really know.
For that, you also have to have like your birth date and time and year. And I don't really know like what it is. I'm not an expert on it. It kind of shows like how you best are able to like move through the world and get things done. Like, it just mm-hmm. helps a lot with work and career, because as a projector, it's more like focus on your own stuff and people will naturally come to you when the time is right. So I never reach out to people. I just focus on what lights me up. And then eventually an email with an opportunity will come in, or someone will notice what I'm doing. Whereas if I'm a manifesting generator, I feel like a lot of people have that one. That's more about like you create and you put it out and it works. Mm-hmm. So that's more like go-getter, like go out. But I feel like the world we live in is kind of built around manifestors and manifesting generators. And then people like projectors, you're called like lazy because you're not working as hard, or it's just hard to understand mm-hmm. why like people might look at my schedule and be like, you don't start work until 11 a.m. That's crazy. But it's just like, that's how I work.
Yeah. I feel like I need to look into that, because in St. Andrews, like mm-hmm. for the last 4 years, I've only had like 4 or 5 contact hours a week of class. So my schedule is like basically entirely mm-hmm. my own to build. And I think it would have been useful for me to have that from the beginning. I feel like now I kind of have like, I know what kind of work works for me and what kind of schedule, yeah. but I definitely need to look into that a little bit more.
I'm seeing what your type is now.
Oh, thanks. What website are you using?
I just type in human design calculator on Google and it's like the first one that comes up. Okay. Oh, you're a projector too.
Yay!
Oh
my God. I thought I might be. It sounded like
that's me. Crazy. Yeah. So you need to act like I do with work. You can't yeah. work all day, every day. It has to be.
And I try to.
No. Yeah. It doesn't work. Yeah. And you can't. That's also like important, like graduating college and applying to job opportunities. It's more likely that you'll be connected to a job you want through someone you know. Because yeah. as a projector, whenever I send emails to people and try to like pitch myself, it's always a rejection. It's kind of crazy.
Same. Yeah, I've never had any traction with that. Like, I feel like most of the things that have come to me and it's been like a feeling of genuine excitement. And mm-hmm. like, oh, this yeah. just makes sense and it feels right. And then it is. And like the things that maybe I'm applying to that sound cool, but like, I don't mm-hmm. know, it just doesn't light up the same kind of like intuitive knowing within me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and you also, should read up on it.
That extends into relationships as well. Like yeah. the people come to you when you're a projector.
Yeah, it's so interesting because me and my fiance are both projectors. So like dating apps never really worked well for us because it's like someone has to make the first move. And when you're mm-hmm. a projector, you don't make the first move ever because it doesn't work. So we got connected through someone, like someone saw the potential for our relationship and connected us because we're both projectors. No one could reach out. Like we had mm-hmm. to have the third party come in.
Wow. Wait, yeah. that's so funny. I didn't know he was also a projector. That makes sense.
Yeah. yeah. It's so funny.
Wow, that's so cool. Okay. I'm going to read up on that.
Yeah.
Also, kind of, you have so many different pieces and parts of your job. You have the podcast, you have the Substack, mm-hmm. you have your book, which mm-hmm. is done and published now, but I guess coming mm-hmm. up, you have your workshop classes.
Yeah.
So how do you juggle all of these different parts, and like how does it stay organized, and how do you make sure you get mm-hmm. everything done?
Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of hiring an assistant right now because it's gotten out of control. Like it's like to the point where I can't answer emails and create content. Mm-hmm. I have specific days laid out for certain tasks. Like Monday is always build the outline for the podcast. Tuesday is always record the podcast. And then with Substack, I have certain deadlines I have to meet, and like knowing I'm like, okay, that's when that newsletter has to go out by, and then the next one, because I send out 3 long Substacks a month. So I always have to have dates of like, when do these have to go out by and how long do I have to work on it before it's ready to be going out. And then Thursday afternoon into Friday morning is always the Vogue weekly horoscopes. And then I try to keep like a social media content calendar going with like ideas and weeks it would be best to post that thing on Instagram or whatever. sometimes I stick to it, sometimes I don't. I feel like with social media, I really have to feel like an energy. I have to feel like this is the right time to post.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. I can't like just post robotically, like this day. I have to be like, there's energy behind this post right now.
Do you look at the transits for posting at the right time?
Or yeah,
is it just an energy thing?
I do look at transits, but I'm already feeling like I want to show more of myself. I want to put something out into the world when it's a positive transit for it. So I typically post on Instagram when it's like moon is in Leo, which is my rising. When the moon's in Aquarius, I have a post planned for today because it's my sun sign. And then also there's other moons that I know like content will perform better on them.
Mm-hmm. What are some things, looking back at the time that you've spent with astrology, or also building your own business, that you would do differently, either in regards to learning astrology and sharing it, or mm-hmm. with literally like the way that you just run your business?
I'm trying to think back, because I don't have any like regrets for how I've done stuff. Like everything I've done has led me to make a necessary change or advance further. Like you can't have it all figured out right when you first start. I would say having a partner, like I had a business partner where we did a podcast together and created courses together. Like I felt like I did that because I was scared to stand alone as my own mm-hmm. brand. But like I needed to do that to build more confidence in myself, so I don't regret it. But like if I had the option now, it would like never again would I like work with someone that closely. Not because that other person was bad to work with, it's just like I need to have more confidence and like be my own entity.
Yeah.
Other regrets what was the like other part of that question?
What are things maybe in learning astrology that you might do differently? Oh,
yeah, I would probably, I don't know, because I just like learn where my interests take me, and I never enrolled in like a formal course on the basics. Like that very well may have been super helpful at the start, because I kind of learned in like a like go as you, like as I did charts and gained practice with readings. That's really how I learned and like where I was interested in. So maybe it would have benefited me to do something more formal.
Mm-hmm. Are there more formal astrology courses offered right now?
Yeah, like if you have an astrologer you really like to follow on Instagram, or like a respected astrologer you like their books or their podcasts, like a lot of them will have courses. You can also get like certified, which is a very lengthy process, and you have to know how to draw a chart out by hand and like all this kind of very detailed information about astronomy and astrology. That's another level though.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the astrology world is very small, and I think that you totally filled a niche within that, especially with your podcast. Mm-hmm. And it, specifically the first one, Astrology and You, because it was dedicated to kind of teaching astrology to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you kind of go into it with that mission of simplifying astrology and making it more digestible to the average person?
Yes, definitely. Because, I mean, I love, there's an astrology podcast called The Astrology Podcast. It's literally called that. Yeah. And I learned a lot through listening to that. But I feel like if I wasn't an astrologer, that podcast would be a little bit too complex. So I did want to make it more simplified.
Mm-hmm.
Through that podcast, and that's what I do on Substack now, because I just found it was hard to speak on it without having visuals there, so I'm able to do that same sort of thing through writing now, and like mm-hmm. provide diagrams and charts and more detailed information than I could on a podcast.
Yeah. And your Substack, you have the free and then you also have the paid subscriptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you choose what kind of stuff to put in the free and what to put in the paid? Because the paid is so in-depth.
Paid, I go more complex, because people that are paying me monthly for this usually know astrology and just want to know more about it. So mm-hmm. the paid, I always try to like teach something, like a more complex topic, because I know the reader can handle it. Whereas with the free, it's more of like okay, I'm kind of interested in astrology. I'm not willing to pay for it, though. So there'll be something that's a little bit easier to understand, but that still is like kind of a hot topic of interest.
Mm-hmm. Just to kind of pivot, if you could talk to yourself maybe when you were 22 or right before you discovered astrology, what would you tell that younger version of Alice?
Probably stop worrying about what everyone else is doing. Like, spend more time alone. Return to, like, interests you loved doing as a child. Stop comparing. And stop drinking as much. And stop seeking validation from men.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a great little list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a huge part of personal growth, at least this is something that I've discovered in the last year, is that you end up coming back to who you were as a kid and mm-hmm. realizing that there really was nothing wrong with you to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I lost myself in high school and then also college, because I feel like when the drinking and party culture was introduced, it was just like I lost like who I was at that time, and then I didn't rediscover it until like age 25 again, and then like mm-hmm. every year since 25, I'm now 31, has been more of like, oh yeah, I forgot I love to do this.
Mm-hmm. What was it about high school that made you lose that part of yourself?
I think just having to thinking you need to be doing what everyone else is doing and like trying to fit into this mold. Oh, like everyone else likes this topic, I should like this topic. And mm-hmm. like if you were an outlier with different interests, you were just weird. Because I went to boarding school like you did, Wardy. And mm-hmm. I just feel like when you're in that environment, there's no downtime away from your peers. So it's very easy to just be like super obsessed with what is everyone else doing and how can I fit in with that.
Yeah, and I think there's also something to be said for the culture of the school specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, as a Southern boarding school, it's very, at least when I went there, I felt like the social dynamic mm-hmm. was very vicious and super based on conformity. And if you, like, if you didn't conform, you weren't necessarily going to thrive.
Yeah, and like even down to like the very clothes you're wearing, like if your clothing was off in any way, it was like, oh, like what are mm-hmm. you wearing, you know? Whereas in middle school, I had all this time at home after school to like do my own stuff alone in my room, and there was never any of that at boarding school.
Yeah, and also then you went to two different schools in the U.S. for college and mm-hmm. transferred twice. What was the big difference, or either maybe it was a shift in yourself or a shift in like your external surrounding between being at those like Southern party schools and going mm-hmm. to school abroad in Switzerland?
Yeah, I think like those schools, the Southern party schools, would have worked if I did boarding school straight into that. But I did senior year of high school in Italy. So having that such a different experience where I like saw the world and learn that there were other stuff I could do outside of going to sports and like drinking, that was really hard to go back to like a similar environment for college that boarding school was. So mm-hmm. then I was like, wait, I need to go back and like be able to travel more and see the world. So then I finally went back to Switzerland for my last 2 years.
And what was that like of going back abroad?
It was amazing.
To like, especially an Italian speaking place and mm-hmm. kind of that culture that you love so much, what were like the things that made you feel at home about being there?
Just like the culture. Like I love going to a cafe, getting a cappuccino and a croissant, like just being able to do that. And it's like something you can do anywhere. Being able to travel super easily, because obviously when you're in college, you don't have a lot of money. So EasyJet, Ryanair, like mm-hmm. if I was in college in America, it costs like $1,500 to take a flight to Europe. Whereas yeah. if you're already over there, it's like $100. Yeah, travel is so important to me. And also just surroundings, like there weren't fraternity sororities in Switzerland. It was like everyone goes to the discotheque on the weekend, and I like loved the discotheque when I was in
when I was that age. I like love it.
Did you feel like the people who you met abroad, you kind of identified with more on like a soul level?
Yeah, like my only friends from college that I still see regularly are friends from the Switzerland college. I don't keep in touch with anyone from the colleges before, just because we have like way more in common and share like similar outlook on the world.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then also when you went to Vogue, what were like the vibes? Like, how was it like Devil Wears Prada? I mean, I'm sure people ask you that all the time.
It was most like Devil Wears Prada when I subbed in as Anna Wintour's assistant for 2 weeks. Like, that was literally like that movie. Yeah. It was crazy. Like, she wouldn't speak to her assistants. It was like you had to go, like, she would get out of her car, her private driver car in the morning. I had to go and, like, get her purse for her and trail after her with her purse. I had to, like, deliver the book to places. So, yeah, it was very much like that. But the team I was on, Vogue.com, was way more chill than Vogue print because it was, like, digital. It was more, like, up and coming. And I really felt like I, like, found my family there. Like, everyone was just as obsessed about fashion and certain things as I was. And I felt like we all had, like, similar personalities. So Vogue was, like, also, like, if I didn't have, like, the tight-knit friend group from college, I got it at that job.
Gotcha. And would you say that you didn't have a tight-knit group in college, even from Switzerland?
Yeah, no. No, I would say I'm still not someone that has, like, a big friend group. It's more just, like, a lot of people from different walks of life.
I'm the same way. Maybe it's because we're projectors.
Yeah. Also, as you grow, like, you outgrow people. It's okay to, like, not be friends with people that worked, like, 5 years before. Maybe they're just not on the same level as you.
Yeah, totally. I feel like also a part of getting hired at Vogue, would you say, had to do with, like, your style and being individual? Because I feel like if you look at kids who go to, like, the really impressive fashion schools in New York, or people who work in fashion, it's like, it's not necessarily that they're doing the craziest, edgiest new thing, but it's that everybody has their own understanding of, like, what fashion means to them and their own individual style. So would you say that that's accurate for working at Vogue as well?
Yes, and also having a knowledge of brands that aren't the basic brands. Like, one of the questions I kept getting, I had, like, 2 interviews there before I was hired, and they kept asking me, like, who are your favorite designers? And I had, like, kind of niche references, and I think they liked that more than just, like, oh, I love Prada, you know. It was more like, okay, does she actually know and respect designers working in the industry?
And before you were at Vogue, you were at Central Saint Martins in London.
Yes.
Which is it the best fashion school?
Yeah, if you're a fashion designer, like, that's, like, where you need to be.
What was your experience of being there? Because you were studying fashion journalism?
Yeah, I was in the journalism master's program, which is a year long. It was interesting because journalism, like, that, the people in that course are not really artsy. We're more like, we like to read. We're more like preppy. I don't know. So it was, we felt very separate from, like, people that were, like, very artistic, very creative in, like, the design world. It just felt like we were totally separate from them. But it was funny to, like, be in school and, like, see all of that happening.
And what kind of things were you learning in your classes, or what were your classes about?
I would say, like, a huge thing I learned was just how to stop writing like an academic voice, because up until that point you just write research papers in undergrad, and, like, you have to have, like, an intro paragraph and then be like, I'm going to talk about this, this, and this. So I really learned how to get rid of that and talk from my own point of view and my own voice. And we would do things. It was a lot of, like, having to interview people. Like, I had to cold, like, at the final project at the end of the year was, like, a market report and, like, reporting on some bigger overarching trend that was going on in the industry at that time. So this was 2016 when blogging and being an influencer was just coming up for the first time. So I wrote about being like a personality, like using your personality as like a brand. Mm-hmm. And I had to like cold email journalists I really respected that also were influencers. And yeah, just get good about like getting quotes from people and making it really snappy.
Mm-hmm. And I guess those are things that carried through to your time at Vogue and then to today as well, right? In the way that you write for your job.
Yeah, like everything I learned in that 1 year has been so helpful, even though I don't do fashion journalism anymore. Like just the skills I learned there mm-hmm. are so great now.
Totally. What do you think, like, I feel like there's a huge, we talked about this earlier a little bit, of like how you kind of caught the wave of the occult in mainstream mm-hmm, culture. Mm-hmm. What do you think are, like, do you have any thoughts? I mean, I know you wrote an article about this recently about Saturn being in so many songs, like Kacey Musgraves' Deeper Well,
yeah.
or SZA just released a song called Saturn. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of reflective? And I feel like also Kacey Musgraves' album, for example, just because I love her and I'm obsessed with her, mm-hmm. is like very reflective of a big turn towards cultural healing and kind mm-hmm. of just an interest with spirituality and the inner workings of ourselves. Is that something that is kind of like astrology based, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Like how it's gonna build and build. I kind of feel like we're still in, like, Pluto now being in Aquarius as of like this year, it enters fully for the next 20 years until 2043, I believe. And I just associate Aquarius a lot with like being more independent and being interested in things that are kind of like weird or not accepted entirely in culture. So I still feel like the interest in these types of like occult activities will continue to build over the next 20 years. And then after that, Pluto goes into Pisces for like 20, 25 years after that. So I kind of feel like for the rest of my adult life, hopefully this interest just like continues to grow.
Mm-hmm. Does that give you any hope for the state of the world?
I think things are going to get worse before they get better. And I mm-hmm. feel like the state of the world is what makes people more interested in these types of things because they want answers.
Yeah.
That's why astrology got so big during COVID, because it was like, what's next for me? Like, I need more meaning in my life.
Mm-hmm. So without getting into like the specifics of transits, because it's, I feel like it's just going to be too technical and I don't want to freak anybody out. how do you keep yourself from like falling into a state of doom mm-hmm. when you say it's going to get worse before it gets better?
Like it's not something I fixate on every day, and it's just like, I just have the acceptance of my soul chose to be alive at this moment in history for a reason. So let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like clearly I wanted to be alive to witness this moment in history. I wasn't born like a decade or two decades earlier. Like I need to be this age at this time. I just believe that like your life is fated and that you were born at that specific time with that birth chart to witness certain like historical moments and have your life go a certain way at certain moments in time.
Totally. And I think also you were definitely born to be part of that, to be part of that historical moment and to usher in and like make astrology more accessible to the public and things like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, like I think about like if I had been born even 5 years earlier, I would have been in my 30s when astrology was like becoming more mainstream, and it's so hard to take a career risk like that, to quit some type of corporate job and work for yourself, not making a lot of money initially at age like 30. Like by that mm-hmm. time you want to be more established. So I had to be like that sweet spot of like age 25 where it was like, okay, like not making that much money anyways, what could go wrong?
Mm-hmm. What are your other spiritual interests? Like I know that you're really into past life stuff, but what about like mm-hmm. the Akashic records? Like what is that?
That I really don't know that much about. I just think it's like a history of your past lives. I've recently just like had to stop thinking about past lives. Like that was a big interest a few years ago, but it just like takes you away from like your present lifetime. Mm-hmm. So it's more, I just find more growth comes from like being in the present now than worrying about who I was in another lifetime.
Yeah.
But it's still interesting. It's like comforting that your soul just keeps going and going.
What about, do you ever worry about like the way that you view spirituality being too like human centric? Like, have you ever had moments where your spiritual outlook is kind of like rocked, or you go through waves maybe of believing in it more or less?
Not going through waves of believing in more or less, just maybe more knowledge about it. And kind of like what, like where does your soul go when you die? Like just like learning more about that. I'm trying to think of like the best way to put it. Yeah, like recently I started, like I just believe like your soul is like just always there inside you, and you can tap into that knowledge that you have as like a spirit that is separate from your thoughts and like your ego. And it's like I've started writing for guidance and like connecting with that higher self. It just like has more knowledge about like the wider scope of your life than like what you're worrying about on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's, I mean, what meditation is. Do you meditate every day still?
I do Kundalini breath work, but meditation is very hard for me. I find it's easier for me to meditate when I'm writing, which is like why I write, and then that calms the mind, and then I'm able to ask questions to my higher self, like what would be the best thing to do today. Or sometimes I connect with spirits through writing. I'll like ask them directly and I get an answer, and it's not like something my mind would just make up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I kind of would say I do similar things, maybe. I really go through waves of meditating and actually feeling connected to it. I feel like there's passive meditation and then there's active meditation, and you've totally feel the difference when you really do tap into that kind of like higher self. Or it's not necessarily tapping into your higher self as much as it is removing your perception of yourself from everything that's happening in your daily life.
And you can also do it like without meditating. If you just catch yourself and you're like, you just have to like identify and recognize your thoughts and like know that you're separate from them.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time, so just as like one last question, what is a piece of advice that you would give to 22-year-olds graduating college, or just people who are in uni right now, who are about to emerge into the world? What is something that you would say?
I guess I have two. One is, like, you don't need to have it all figured out right now. Like, your career is going to change. Like, most people hit their career peaks in their 40s and 50s. Like, life is long. You don't need to be this huge success right out of the gate. Also, don't be afraid to, like, work. Like, this is kind of hard, but, like, I feel like some of my best career opportunities have come from when I'm not worrying about how much money I'm making from them. So not worrying about having, like, a huge salary right upon graduating and, like, just being uncomfortable with maybe not having as much money as you would like, because the money will come eventually. I would always choose like what you're passionate about over money if it's possible. Because eventually you will make money off of it, just not like probably for several years.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's kind of my life philosophy as well.
Yeah.
You can find Alice on Instagram, which is at Stalk Alice. That's S-T-A-L-K, Alice, A-L-I-C-E, as well as on her website, which is www.alicebellastrology.com.
Her book is titled Trust Your Timing by Alice Bell, and you can find it and order it in both the US and the UK now, as well as some other countries. I'm not sure exactly which ones. And you can listen to her podcast, Astrology with Alice, wherever you get your podcasts. She does weekly predictions every Monday, and every other Thursday comes out with some more niche astrology lessons. So check out that if you're interested. And all of the above, her website, her Instagram, her podcast, her book, will also be linked in the show notes. So you can just scroll on down and find that there too. If you love The Worm, be sure to follow me on the Instagram, which is @theworm_podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening to The Worm. It means the world. And I'll see you next time. Bye.